You know, time was lots of homes and families across the developing North American continent taught their kids, using the McGuffey reader and typically the Bible, to read, to write, to cipher, they would call it, because it was no choice. There wasn't a school. And as we got further into the 20th century and public education became more and more iffy and beyond anybody's arguments about the morals of it and its aims, stopped teaching the things that would make a person literate when they graduated, the more folks began to focus back again on the possibility of teaching their own kids. It's been called homeschooling, and it's quite the phenomenon. It's got its detractors, and we'll talk about some of the criticisms of it as we visit a little bit. But from up in Noblesville, Steve Stone, our guest, he and his wife Cheryl have four kids from 16 to 5, and they're all educated at home.
That's right.
That's good to have you here, Steve. Good morning.
Thank you very much for letting me be on the air.
Well, I would point out to our folks as well that in addition to being involved in the insurance business, you have a degree in education and a master's in public affairs, so you know whereof you speak. What got you, first of all, just the short version of this one, what sent you in the direction of keeping the kids home to teach them as opposed to getting a little bit of the benefit of the huge property taxes that we all pay? Why did you make that call?
Well, it really was my wife. She came to me and approached me with the idea when our daughter was a baby. And I really had never, the only kids I ever knew who were homeschooled were a couple of kids in my local hometown who had cancer. I mean, I think I also knew of an ice skater. I mean, the whole idea was pretty foreign to me. But the more we talked about it, it was just so thrilling to think that they could stay home with her all day and be exposed to, you know, who I thought was the most wonderful person in the world. And, of course, we could teach them the religious education we really wanted. And then the quality, you know, is just incredible. I mean, the student-teacher ratio at our school is 4-1.
Yeah.
Give me a school where you've got that.
Well, but, you know, there's more to it than that. We need to know how this works because it's a pretty formidable business. You're talking about kids up in there into the high school area where the curriculum would include, and pretty much has to include, algebra, calculus, physics, chemistry, biology.
Yeah, I mean,
besides literature stuff, how do you do that? How does a homeschool family? I mean, you'd have to have a mom that's got a heck of an education to be able to do all of that.
No, you really don't. That's kind of the myth of homeschooling, that you need to be this college-educated teacher, and it isn't true. The number one thing you need to be a homeschooler is the willingness and the opportunity to work very hard. My wife really has a full-time, really two full-time jobs. I mean, she takes care of the kids and the family, but then she has a second full-time job of teaching, and it really is that. I mean, she spends hours preparing and working with the kids and grading, but it is something that your ordinary citizen can do, and that's what I really want to share with your audience, is that this is not something you should be afraid of. This is something that if you feel like this is what you want to do, I encourage you to explore it, because it's really about hard work. Now, trust me, it is hard work. My wife is the primary educator. I help out with certain classes, and she is busy. But as you probably well know, Greg, busy people get a lot done.
So to the point of some of the more esoteric pieces of this, and I know this is the forbidding piece to a lot of folks, what do you do with calculus and trigonometry and college algebra and physics? How do you do that?
There are so many great resources out there. There are publishing companies that will sell you the entire package, the tests, the books, the activities, everything.
Mm-hmm.
There are also online schools where they're offering you the tutelage of trained teachers to work online and over the phone and Skype with your child and with you. There are a homeschool co-ops where you can go and have classes together. We've been a part of a co-op for many years, and also
now there's the place that makes sense. But to me, you find somebody that can do it. I'd be pretty antsy about thinking that I could get enough materials from somebody else to make me a competent physics teacher when I couldn't teach that stuff out of a wet sack, and we wouldn't let them do that in the public schools. They got to know the subject, or at least we hope that that's the rule. It's not as much as it should be. But you mentioned that you have co-ops. You got to find somebody that can teach these harder subjects, or else the kids just aren't going to get them, seems like to me.
Well, really, the key is just applying yourself to it. I mean, you and I went to school, and we studied a lot of difficult things, and we passed them. And the great thing is you've got help. The teacher has a lot of different resources that are available to them. You really can teach almost anything. Now, it does get to a point, you know, up into those higher levels where there are some folks who just aren't quite gifted enough to do that. You know, the calculus and the physics and some of those things can be tricky, but really it's something that we're doing. We did biology. We have done chemistry. We're up into, I think this year we're going to be doing trigonometry. And we're being successful. I mean, the kids are making the grades.
Okay, tell us what the results have been. I know that in getting ready to speak at the Homeschool Association commencement, which I addressed with it's been 6-7 years ago, I guess now. It was a lot of fun. It was a big event, as you well know, 1,500 people in the room. What's the SAT? Rubber meets the road acid test look like for the homeschoolers versus the public school population?
They're better. Your homeschool child tends to score better on the nationally standardized tests. Now, that doesn't mean every homeschool child, you know, is a national spelling bee award winner, but they do tend on average to be better. The great thing about homeschooling is you can focus in on their strengths. And really let them pursue their passions. I'm one of the kids who graduated this year. He's a son of my friend. He's a filmmaker. He is already working on his college coursework, and he's producing films and videos, and that's what he's wanted to do, and so his mom and dad have given him the freedom to pursue that media. My daughter is actually a musician, and we've allowed her to take lessons, and she's really enjoyed it and gotten pretty good at it. And, you know, we've been able to let her focus on music more as a part of her curriculum. That's just the great thing about, one of the great things about homeschooling is the flexibility to let them pursue what they really want.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you do that, I think a lot of folks find out, we know this is also true in the more atypical schools, private schools, charter schools. When the kids got the autonomy to, as you say, focus on things that they really want. That they want to learn. They do better with the other subjects as well.
Yeah.
Intellectual curiosity is a thing that either awakens or it doesn't. And so, well, listen, we got to keep on rocking here. I thank you so much for your time. But we're not done with this, my friends. I bring these things up. And Steve Stone, thanks for being our guest. We appreciate so much the chance to talk with you. This is a family with four kids, from 16 to 5, all home educated. We're going to be talking momentarily with Rachel Thompson, who was home educated herself for her whole life. She's a nurse at a hospital in Noblesville. So there's plenty to talk about with her to find out how this works day in and day out, and what the pitfalls of it are. Once again, it's not easy all the way through a high school curriculum. We'll be back in mere moments. Stick with us. Rachel Thompson lives up in the Atlanta, Arcadia area. Homeschooled, home educated her whole life, college educated, and is a nurse at an Oldsville hospital. She's here to talk about homeschooling and home education. She has three siblings who were all home educated, one of whom is still at home and home educating as well. She has a sister who's a school teacher. Rachel, thanks for being our guest. Good morning and happy Memorial Day to you.
Happy Memorial Day to you too.
Let's talk about your own experience here. You're 35 years old now. I wouldn't have said that out loud, but it's on your materials here, so I guess you can't. You're so young.
I'm a 30-something.
Yeah, it's you're right in the middle of the age bracket of all of my kids. It's So you're now, you've been out of what would have been called high school, I guess, for 15, 17 years. Homeschooling is, some would say, come a long way. Some would suggest that it's exactly like it always was, kid-oriented. What did you do with physics and chemistry and foreign language, calculus, trigonometry, those more specialized and esoteric pieces of high school education when you were being schooled at home?
Yes. Well, I actually had some wonderful opportunities even when I was in high school, and I feel like there's even more opportunities today than there were back in the 90s when I was in high school. But and also, I was fortunate to have a dad whose strong suit is mathematics and the sciences, and a mom who had more input in the English and history and arts. But I had several opportunities. The secretary at my church speaks fluent French, and so I was able to learn some French from her, take some classes once a week. And still, there was the homeschooling aspect of it in the fact that you only met once a week for maybe an hour, and the rest of the time you were doing your homework on your own and doing all of that work at home, and then you'd go back like once a week to meet with the teacher, kind of figure out where you were going. You know, she'd look over and grade the homework. I also had an opportunity to do chemistry with a homeschooling father who just had several homeschool high schoolers that would meet once a week in his basement or his garage, and it was wonderful because he had a lab set up in his garage so we could even do the lab experiences. But quite honestly, a lot of things you can still do at home. Like I did my own biology course at home, and then, you know, over the course of a summer, we ordered a kit for doing all the dissection labs, and Dad just sat down at the kitchen table, and we went through all of the labs one by one. So there are a lot of opportunities out there for even the higher math and science areas. So.
Well for me. You mentioned chemistry and only meeting once a week. I went to public school and took chemistry as a sophomore in high school, and it met every day. And I had to work my fanny off to get through it because it was hard for me.
So did I.
But when you only see a teacher once a week, the rest of it you're on your own?
I would go through all the homework. We had a textbook that we were going through. I would go through all of the homework assignments on my own. And then on Sunday afternoons, my dad and I would sit down and we would go through any problems that I was having trouble with. And then I'd go to my class on Mondays and the whole cycle would start over again. So it really is a lot more, it can be a lot more self-directed. And that was kind of a build-up process, too. You know, when you're younger, it's very one-on-one. And then as you get older, you kind of know what math lesson you're supposed to do that day. And your parents become a good resource for you because you can go to them when you have problems or issues or you're not quite understanding something. But a lot of things really can be self-directed. And a lot of the curriculum out even today, they're going more towards a fashion where a student can do more self-learning and be more self-directed. And it's not, you know, your traditional textbooks that you'd find in a public school classroom.
Now, I'm curious, where'd you go to college?
Cedarville University in Ohio.
Why did you pick Cedarville?
It was a smaller private school, and it just felt like a good fit for me. I actually didn't know anybody going there at the time. But and I had a lot of friends that were going to Indiana Wesleyan University up in Marion, and so I had considered that school as well. But I just had a piece about going to Cedarville. I felt like it was a really great nursing program and also a biblical-based education as well. So,
now, how'd you do on the SATs compared with your friends in public school?
Well, I did well enough that when I got to college, they recommended that I clip out of some classes, so I did that. I quite honestly don't remember my exact score, but it was above average.
The thing that is so daunting to folks who imagine taking up the responsibility that the public schools have, that we pay the public schools to do, and then being able to get it done. How do you know that you're getting there? What's the testing procedure that you go through as a student? You've talked an awful lot about being self-directed, but, you know, I know an awful lot of adolescents that have self-direct themselves right out of existence if they were left alone to study chemistry for a week without any help. How do you know? What was the signpost? How'd you do it?
Yeah, there's still a lot of parental oversight. And also, along with that, my parents would administer the Iowa Basic Skills Test to me and my siblings on, you know, every year, every other year. It just kind of depended, just to see how we were doing on the national level. And we were always, you know, because sometimes you feel like, well, maybe we're lacking in the math or the science area, or maybe, you know, we're not up to par, and then you'd always get your scores back and realize, okay, we are on track. We're doing what we need to be doing. They're learning, you know, and we're doing better than we ever expected. So that was one way that we did that. And, you know, it's just a process for me. Like I said, you know, you start out very one-on-one, and then as you, if you stepped out of a public school and went straight into homeschooling in one of the upper grades, it would still be more one-on-one. But when it's something that you've grown up with, you know, it's part of your life, you, that's how you can become more self-directed.
Okay, listen, in the time we got left, I want to go into one, we got just a couple of minutes here. Once again, Rachel Thompson, our guest, she's a registered nurse, who was educated at home throughout her whole high school career and grade school, high school career. What about the social side of things? I always felt as though before my kids got turned into the nasty old world, I'd like for them to do it while I'm still around, not to have their first experience of being away from home and being in the realities of the world happen when they stepped out at 18. Talk about the social side of your maturation process of getting ready to go out on your own. When you've been homeschooled instead of being out with the, in class with 30, 40 other kids?
Yes. I actually believe that, you know, homeschoolers being social misfits is a misconception. I had so many different social opportunities through my church, through homeschool support groups. You know, it was like plus taking music lessons or, you know, a chemistry class, you know, in the homeschool dad's basement. There were just so many opportunities throughout the week where you were doing different things with other homeschoolers, with other people from church, whatever the case may be. And I felt like I was able, as a result of being homeschooled, I could not only relate to my peer groups, but I felt like I could relate to kids that were younger than me, to adults. You know, I felt like I had a much more broad social spectrum than just my peer groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that when I had the opportunity to visit with scores of graduating seniors, they surely didn't seem to me like they were afraid to look me in the eye and strike up a conversation with an adult. To the contrary, they seemed more willing to step into my realm than often is the case with kids that I'd met through the public schools that where my kids had gone. Rachel Thompson, thanks for being our guest. Folks go, oh, homeschool, ooh, and then they don't know what they think about it. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit with Micah Clark from the American Family Association of Indiana after the news. But Micah and I got a lot of other stuff to talk about together, too. The news is next on 93 WIBC.